Welcome to Becoming Parents Podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Campbell. I'm a doula in Washoe County, Nevada, a Medicaid provider, a lactation educator, childbirth educator, and mom of 18. You can find me and connect on doulainreno.com. Remember, give a shout out to those who are brave enough to share their stories with us on how they have become parents. Let's dive in. Welcome to Becoming Parents. I'm your host, Jennifer Campbell, and I'm super excited today to have on Olivia Welch. How are you doing, Olivia?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good. I love your name because it's my second daughter's name. So every time I say it, it gives me these little warm fuzzies just because I love the name. And this is a special release. So you are someone that I personally know and you are local to my area. You're actually in the Washoe County area. So this is just really fun for me. So thank you.
Yeah, of course. I'm so excited to be on and talking with you.
I want you to jump in and start to share your story about how you became a parent.
Yeah, so I became a parent in a pretty traditional way. I'd been married for about 2 years. Me and my husband decided we wanted to start trying, and we got pregnant the first time we tried, which is super wonderful for us.
And not fun.
Right? It was wonderful. My first pregnancy was so easy, very textbook. I gave birth in a birthing center. I got to have my tub birth that I wanted. Everything pretty much went exactly the way that I could have hoped it would go. And then my postpartum sucked. It was not what I was hoping for. I spent the first 3 months. I just moved to Texas. I'd been there for literally, we got pregnant 2 or 3 months after we moved to Texas. Mm-hmm. And after my baby was born, all of those friends I'd made working, they didn't really want to come and meet with me. We just weren't that close yet. And so I spent the first 3 months of my postpartum laying in bed with my newborn and just not really having anybody to cook me food. I remember at one point crawling down the stairs, you know, and trying to make myself a spaghetti for dinner and really struggling through that because I was in a lot of pain. And I thought that I was the only one who could make myself dinner. I didn't think to ask my husband. It's not his fault. I just, you know, I was like, I have to make myself dinner, and it was not great. And I realized later that that was a lot of my postpartum anxiety. It was just, I had to do everything. And if anybody else did it, it wasn't going to be good enough. Then I got pregnant like a month after that 3 months laying in bed. And that was right before COVID. So it was
terrible timing.
It was rough. I already had the anxiety. Now I'm pregnant. I had a horrible morning sickness. And I thought to myself, you know what? As long as this baby is a girl, everything will be fine. I don't know, some kind of delusion. It was not a girl. and I ended up with gender disappointment. My postpartum anxiety was kicking hard. The world was shut down. The little friends that I kind of had, I couldn't see them because as far as I knew, I was pregnant and it was still so early. There just really wasn't a lot of information on how this could affect my pregnancy. And I already had the anxiety. So the idea of going out and putting myself or my baby at risk was just not a possibility for me. And so I was alone, sick, struggling. I had basically a newborn, and I was just trying to hoof this whole parenting thing on my own. Once my second baby came though, as soon as he was born, instant, like it was just all okay. I love him so much. And, you know, the fact that he's a boy really didn't affect as much as my pregnancy brain thought it would. And then we moved back to Nevada. And once we got here, found out I was pregnant with twins. It was such a surprise. Doesn't run in either mine or my husband's family. And it was as challenging a pregnancy as any typical twin pregnancy would be. Probably the hardest part was I had a subchorionic hemorrhage, which just means that I was maybe 3 months pregnant and I was using like an at-home Doppler to check the baby's heartbeats. And all of a sudden I like moved it and I felt like a huge gush. I went to the bathroom and I had just bled everywhere. at this point, like my brain was, this is a miscarriage. I lost one or both of my babies. It was the scariest feeling I've ever had in my entire life. We went to the ER and it took them 6 hours to get me in for an ultrasound. So I spent 6 hours sitting in a cold ER room, bleeding, not knowing if like my babies were alive, if there was anything we could, I don't know, if it felt like there was something we could have been doing for them. But thankfully they were both okay. Like I said, it was just a subchorionic hemorrhage. So just a pocket of blood that, I was bleeding out and it was very uncomfortable, but thankfully everything was okay. And then my twins were born at home, which was so empowering.
Wow.
Yeah, it was the most beautiful experience. And honestly, after that, I'm like, I can do anything, no matter what comes my way. Like, I can tackle it. My second was actually born breech too, so that's just, I really feel like I can. It's just such a high. Honestly, if it was okay to just give birth consistently, I might do
Me
it
too. I was that way too. I love that
because
part. Like, I think I felt like I was good at that. It was really hard work. It was really, really hard work. But like, I was so sick the first half of every pregnancy. I hated it. And then I felt great. And then I loved the birth, but I don't want to have to do all the other stuff, you
the pregnancy and taking care of a newborn, definitely a lot more challenging. But man, I'm a pro at giving birth, I'll tell you
Yeah.
what.
Nobody else says that. I love that. I always feel weird. Like, yeah, I really love the labor and delivery, even though it was really hard. People are like, what? But yeah, it
Yeah,
is a high. It's definitely high. I
it
so I want to get a timeline a little bit better in my mind. You
is.
had your first one. 5 months later, you got pregnant. So are they 13 or 14 months apart?
Yeah, 14 months.
14 months apart. And then how long after that did you get pregnant with the twins? How far apart are they?
They're 2 years apart from my younger one.
Okay, so that was like
Yes.
a that's like natural child spacing, but still, you had a 3-year-old, a 2-year-old, and twins, right?
Yeah. Four under four. It was
That my daughter did the
crazy.
same thing, and it's insane.
Yeah. It was so, it's still, it's definitely a challenge, but that newborn time period with newborn twins and my 3 and 2 year old, and my 2 year old, well, now he's three, but he just started talking. So he wasn't even like using real
Yeah.
words for a lot of that. So he was having tantrums and dealing with the adjusting.
Plus,
It's
you'd moved.
beautiful. Yeah. And we moved. It's, and we live with my in-laws. So we moved into a untraditional kind of living thing as well. It's been crazy.
It's how long have you lived in Reno now? How long has that been?
It's been a year.
Okay. So the twins are almost a year old.
No, I found out I was pregnant with the twins like right after we moved here. So they are 5 months.
Oh, right. Oh my
Yeah.
gosh, Olivia.
I know.
Hold, time out. I'd like to go back and talk about, so the first baby birth center, beautiful. Second baby birth center, beautiful and but breech. Was there any fear around that? Did you know going into it?
Oh, do you mean like, so it was actually the second twin that was breech.
Oh, the second twin. I
Yeah. My
apologize.
first, no, you're fine. My first two were totally normal. They were textbook births, textbook pregnancies, almost textbook postpartums without the postpartum anxiety and COVID.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the second twin was breech and you were at home for a home birth. Was that a surprise? I mean, I think with twins, you're not really ever surprised about positioning. But
Yeah.
did you know going in?
So going in, both babies were head down. And once my first
Oh.
baby was born, he flipped. And looking back, it's like, oh, that makes a lot of sense because I looked down after my first baby was born and I just saw a little like rolling. It was definitely like his legs moving. But he flipped around and he came out Frank Breech, I believe is the
Okay.
term. Yeah.
So what do you feel like? I mean, it's so hard because you've had like three beautiful births and all birth center and home births. So that seems more idyllic, but you had given birth to the first twin. Was there more stress on you or with your team when baby was turned around and was breech?
No, we had talked about it a lot with my midwife because that was a concern of mine. I really wanted a home birth and I wanted a midwife who was ready for whatever twins entail.
Right.
And thankfully, she was ready. She was like, I don't care if both babies are breech, one
Okay.
baby, you know. So that wasn't a concern. The biggest thing was it was 37 weeks. So they were technically term, but
Yeah.
for white boys, you know, we had wimpy white boy syndrome. So my son was born and had low OSAT levels.
Which, I mean, normal, as long as you have a midwife who's really adept at that. They bring the oxygen. They bring, I think, well, we can talk about that in a minute, but there are misconceptions about home births versus hospital births. And I think that's one of them. Like, if you have a baby that has something going on with twins and with 37 weeks, even though that's totally like normal term, fine, you're more aware of certain situations presenting themselves because there's a higher possibility of that. So when you have someone who's aware of that, it's great. I also want to go back because you had postpartum anxiety. Was there anything else going on? I'm talking about after your first one. I think it's really common for moms to feel like we should do everything, or it's expected, or it won't be as good, which is something that you mentioned. Because, like, really, I can cook you a dinner, Olivia, and it's going to be just as good. I mean, relatively, right? But
Yeah.
you were really struggling with that. And then to get pregnant 5 months later and then to have another baby, can you take me through your postpartum, the issues you had with postpartum? I think they're so common, so much more common than we talk about. So I'd love you to dive in a little bit more on that.
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing was I knew that you needed a village when you had a newborn baby. I'd heard that 101 times. But I hadn't built that, or at least not the way that I thought. I thought that having my mom come and visit for a few weeks after, and then having my mother-in-law come and visit, and having my husband was going to be enough. And I had
Yeah.
a meal train. But the thing is all of those people loved me, but they didn't know newborn care. They didn't know postpartum mom care. They didn't
Right.
know the things that I needed. And because of that, I think that yes, in a sense, I needed to relinquish some control and let people make me dinner. You know, just using that off the top of my head. But also, like, they didn't know the minerals that I needed. They didn't know the questions they needed to be asking me. They didn't know that I needed like way more food than they were eating. So they were giving me food at breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but I needed breakfast, second breakfast. I needed lunch. I needed a snack after that. I needed a dinner because they were eating
Yeah.
normal amounts, but I'm breastfeeding.
Right.
And I needed a lot more, and they didn't know those things, and I didn't know to ask for them. There was one point where I fainted. I was like a week postpartum, and someone had forgotten to give me dinner. I didn't think to ask, and I got really lightheaded, and I fainted because I just hadn't had enough in me. I wasn't drinking enough water. And it's kind of branching off. It's a lot of the reason that I love like doula work because I get to be that person for so many people who have families like mine where there's no babies. But that was huge, was just not having people who understood a postpartum mom's needs
Yeah.
and understanding a newborn baby's needs. And then just I didn't have people to talk to, you know. People who could say, like, yeah, this is really hard, and you're not crazy, and you are a good mom. Because I felt like I was failing. I was like, wow, I definitely was not ready to be a mom. This is clearly not right for me. I'm gonna fail this baby. Yeah, it was really challenging.
I think that's when the failure starts. You know, if you're not a woman who feels like she's failing before you have kids, let me just set you up for the near guarantee you're going to constantly feel like a failure. I know, like, I love being a mom and I always tried really hard. I've always put a lot into it, but man, if there's a quota of screw ups a day, I'm not a quitter. I'm going to hit that quota. It's no
Oh, yeah.
problem, right? And I know with one of my daughters started having kids, she's like, I'm going to do it so much better. I'm like, oh, great. I really, really want you to do it so much better than I did. And then she becomes a mom and she's like, holy crap, I had no idea. I had no idea how hard this was going to be. I babysat, I was a nanny, like, and w so we all basically feel like we're messing it up all the time.
100%. And honestly, we kind of are in a lot of ways. But that's part of life. I think that, like, they talk a lot about how it's not so much the mistakes you make with your kids, it's the way you repair those mistakes.
That and
And
that's what I
so,
think. Don't you hope that you did that well?
yeah, I think that I've learned a lot. And I made sure, as long as you're trying to get better and you're always like, yeah, I made this mistake, but I grew from it. You'll be all right.
And also, I remember my daughter saying, like, I'm doing all these things for my kids, all these like activities and helping them and doing things, right? Haven't we all felt that way? Like from birth, the hours breastfeeding, the nipple pain, the postpartum healing, the putting them in cute clothes, all the things we do, the crafts, the outings. And kids, when they're little, don't remember. And I remember having that conversation with a couple of my kids, like, they're not even going to remember all the stuff I did. And I'm like, no. And their first memory is probably going to be the one time you spank them for spilling grape juice on their white dress after church. You know, like it's going to be, because that's one of my daughters. Like, she's like, I remember you spanked me once. And when she told me the story, I just kind of looked at her and she was like, yeah, I get that now. I get why that was your reaction. But I mean, like, I'm like, I didn't even spank almost ever. Like, how can that be
I just
one of
remember
your
that
first
one thing.
memories, right? So it's really frustrating. I want to hone back in and focus on how do you help? So you're a doula and a childbirth educator here in Washoe County with me. Yay. And I want to ask you about your postpartum experience and what you talk to your clients about, or what you did after the twins, or like how did you make that better? Because you're right. I mean, I was lucky when I had my babies, my mother-in-law came. I was really lucky with the help that I got. And I felt like my postpartum went well, but it's because I set myself up well without realize well, no, not the first, not with the first baby. So after that, I realized what I needed and I set it up well so that my postpartum was great. So what did you do? Because you had the second one and you had COVID. You didn't even have the chance to set things up well, I don't feel like.
Not really. My second postpartum, it was much better because I had learned a little bit. But for my twins, and the things that I kind of tell my clients about is, number one, I check in on all my clients postpartum, whether or not they pay for it. I shoot them a text at the bare minimum and make sure that they're feeling all right, that they're supported, and if they have any issues, like how can I direct them to a specialist? And I make sure that I save for that during my pregnancy because who knows what you're going to need postpartum, whether it's a lactation consultant, a chiropractor for you or your baby, even if it's just like specific herbs and supplements that can help with whatever kind of issues pop up. I think that's huge. Just preparing for postpartum, not preparing the crib, not getting, like all the baby clothes. I like None of that is going to, you can always go to Target and get a onesie. You can always go to Target, get a nose Frida, but like you're not going to be able to get like that postpartum like preparedness nearly as easily. And so I really recommend saving up for those things and investing in them. Because that changed everything. Having people around me who understood like what I needed and making sure that I got it. I also drilled my husband. He knew that I needed protein with every single meal, and I needed like six smaller meals every day, and I needed water constantly at my bedside, and that changed it so much for me. I literally, at all my postpartum checkups, I was like, I'm in heaven for my twins at least. Like, I was like, this is heaven for me. Like, I just get to cuddle my newborns. This is what it feels like it's supposed to be like. It's just calm, nourished, and supported. And I made sure that if people were telling me things that I needed to do with my babies, I told them No. I
Oh,
got to
setting
go to this thing.
boundaries. That's a great conversation to have. We need to have the setting boundaries. I
Yeah.
think setting boundaries is the answer to almost every issue people have in general.
Yeah.
Like if you're having an issue with not even parenting, like feeling stressed, feeling overwhelmed, I'm like, where are your boundaries at with yourself, with the people around you? You can't always tell your job, you know, that you need to, you can only work 3 days a week when
Yeah.
they need you five. I mean, there are some things that you can't set boundaries on, but I really think the lack of boundaries is why people have so much stress in their lives in general. And with parenting and all the advice that comes at you, like it's just overwhelming. Everybody, like, how many times do you hear women are pregnant and another woman will come up, another woman who's experienced pregnancy? Let's preface it with that, and tells you their biggest horror story and how
Ugh.
awful. Like, why shut your mouth? Why
It's
would you
horrible.
ever do that? So I mean, you're setting boundaries in that. I just told my daughter, you know, when you're pregnant, if somebody comes up and puts their hand on your belly, just reach back out and put your hand on that person's belly.
I love it.
Because they're gonna be like, oh, I just thought this was inappropriate boundaries day, like at Target, right?
Yeah.
Like, why in the world do people think certain things are okay? So boundaries is huge. I do love what you said, though, about you tell your clients to save up for potential postpartum issues. As doulas, like I have references for everything that I can, that I think, well, you create references as you go, but like PT and chiropractors for mom and baby, and lactation consultants, whether you're Medicaid or not, and who to call for what, and what numbers do you call, and how do you text, and like tongue tie potentials.
Yeah.
It, like, we have all these references, right? Because you don't know if anyone's going to need them until the time comes. Every delivery is so significantly unique.
Yeah.
So, I love that idea of saving up money for that part, or asking for it in your baby shower. Like, give me a gift certificate for this chiropractor or
Yeah.
this PT. That was awesome advice. Okay, so I want to jump in now because you had four babies in 3 years. That part's right in my brain. Huge. First of all, they're 5 months old, but are there more babies in your future?
No. Well, the babies that are in my future would be through surrogacy, like helping other moms have babies. Because, like I said, I'm pro at giving birth. I love that. And I would love to do that for other moms.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that would be, I mean, I love doing it and I love working with the birth community. Anything to get my get in the door and talk to people, I love it so much. I think surrogacy would be really fun. Me and my husband have talked about it, but I want to wait, kind
Yeah.
of heal from the twins a little bit more.
You think? Yeah,
Yeah.
maybe that's so amazing. So you guys feel like your family is complete. You don't want more children of your own, but you
Yeah.
would still be pregnant. Wow, that's amazing, Olivia. That's really, what a gift. Because I know no matter how much you love giving birth, I know the toll that pregnancy and delivery takes on your body, and to do that for someone else, that's massive. Wow, that's great. I love that. I'm glad I asked that question. Tell me when you launched your doula and childbirth education business, because you're 4 years into parenting, or like almost five if you count pregnancy in that, your first pregnancy, right? That should be about right. When did you just did that first experience make me you realize you wanted to do this? Was it your second experience? Like, when did you launch that?
Yeah, so it was actually my first birth that I was like, wow, I really love doula work. Because, like I said, I was going to a birthing center. And so I got to meet all the people that were kind of congregating there,
Yeah.
doulas, midwives, birth photographers, chiropractors, and all of them loved each other. I was coming from being a teacher, and it's a woman-led field that is so catty. It's just really toxic. I love teaching, but I just couldn't stand my coworkers a lot of the time and just the way that it kind of turned me toxic. I'm not saying I was any better, but I loved it. And so I was like, I want to be a doula. My husband was like, that's great. Then I got pregnant, then COVID. And I was like, okay, maybe this isn't the year for that. But once my son turned one, my birthday gift, in a sense, was to get that doula training. So I got that and I loved it. I actually got my first client really shortly after my training, which was such a blessing. And she was sunshine in a bottle, probably the best first
Oh.
client I could have asked for. She was so wonderful and so sweet and so, like, just inherently a mother. And then I got my childbirth educator certification because I was like, I want to dive deep into this. I want to be able to give my clients the full package and kind of be a one-stop shop as much as possible. And that was great. I loved doing the classes, and it was
Yeah.
really nice while I was pregnant because I didn't feel like I was able to provide so much hands-on care, but teaching classes was really easy. And then I got my certification in, it's called Body Ready Method, but it's essentially just birth physiology and helping my clients with whatever aches and pains they might get when they're pregnant, and helping with labor stalls, and then helping strengthen their bodies postpartum, not in like a get your body back kind of way, but in a be a strong mom and able to, support yourself and be healthy for you and your children's sake.
And then you moved to Reno, so you reestablished yourself as a doula here. We have what I feel like, because I did this in Alaska for like 12 years, and then moving here, I gave it up for a while, and then I went back into it. And I feel like we have such a great, I didn't feel this way when I first moved here and tried to kind of get my foot in the door. I didn't feel like that at all. But now I feel like we have such a warm, supportive community of women who are just amazing. And we all, it's really, there have been so few issues that I would have even called competitive about the birth community at all. We're all able to help. And I also love that we really embrace, like, your strengths are different than my strengths, although we're both doulas. And that's going to attract different people to us. And I think that that's so phenomenal. I want to kind of wrap up and discuss the fact that when you and I first connected, I of course stalked you because as one does, right? And we met for a little chat just to get to know each other. And you were both Christian women. And I had to make a decision when I launched my business a few years ago. Do I want to put down that I am a Christian doula, and I didn't, and you did, and for like probably similar reasons. But a huge part of what we both do is really Christ-centered. And I'd love you to talk a little bit about that, because not only does it differentiate you and it creates a niche, which is great, because you're going to have very specific clients. But I know half of my clients this year connected with me and hired me because I post things on social media, and I don't even post a lot, but they realized that I was Christian.
So for me, it's I decided to go with the Christian, like making sure my people knew that I was a Christian because I wanted that so much for my births. It felt really important that if I was going to be in that vulnerable space, that I knew that everybody who was working with me was praying over me. And I saw that with my twins, like having my son not being like not breathing properly, I knew I could hear it. Everyone in the room was praying over him. I'm talking like six or seven different women were praying over my son. And I loved having that. And I think that that's really important for my clients just to be able to know, like, and see, okay, this woman's gonna pray over me. She's gonna, when she gives me advice and she recommends people to me, she's gonna recommend people who are gonna support like my beliefs and are going to really just, I don't know, kind of walk alongside them and the issues that they're walking and give them advice that's gonna match what they need. And it's really is selfishly, I love it because I get to kind of, what's the word? I get to minister to women in a sense where it's just this is my ministry and it's for Christian women. 9 times out of 10, I have had women who aren't believers and they just they thought they saw like my merit as a doula, and I'm not like, pushing God on them while they're, delivering babies by any means. But it's a space where I feel like I get to connect with Christian women and kind of do something that I feel like God is calling me to, and serving those women specifically. It's just a calling that I felt from God. Like early on, I knew that this business couldn't be vague in terms of my beliefs.
That's awesome. And I feel like it's also my ministry. I don't really feel, I haven't really felt a niche, well, a connection with a ministry within my church, which is usually where people find, but mine is very external. And I, at first, that kind of bummed me out. And then I was so ecstatic about it. So I totally get that. I'm with you with that completely. And I love that you share that so openly.
Yeah, isn't it so wonderful to go from like I felt the same way in my church where it was just like I don't feel like any of these are
Don't
really
fit
like my faith.
anywhere, right?
Yeah, and then you get to go out in the world and you're like, this is my passion, and God
Yeah.
gave me this passion for a reason.
Yes. Yes. Olivia, thank you so much for being on today. I really appreciate you. This was a really fun conversation, and I learned great things about you, and I already knew you. So I love that.
Well, thank you so much for having me.